Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim, and our guest today is Roger. So Roger, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hi, I live in Redondo Beach, California, in SoCal. And what I do for a living is I'm in the free dive hunting. I call it free diving. It's not free. It means diving without an apparatus. That means breath hold diving or skin diving for the old timers. And I call it free dive hunting, not really spearfishing. I mean, it is spearfishing because it is very specific. We're not spearing from a boat. We're not spearing on scuba. And we're not necessarily spearing also. We can be shooting videos, taking photos. It's hunting. Like we hunt mushrooms in the wild. We're not picking them. We say mushroom hunting or safari shoot cameras. So it's free dive hunting. That's my specialty. And the wetsuits. I make specific special wetsuits for that sport.
Awesome. So how did you get into this? Was it more of like a hobby or like, yeah, I'm curious to talk more about your story.
Yep, it was a hobby and kind of a way of life in the 60s of last century when I was like a preteen. It was normal. You go in the ocean to swim and catch fish. It's like I wasn't the only one. People, you know, love to bring fish to the table. So we used to hunt and fish, and these were totally normal activities, sports, on the food gathering, right? So that's how I used to do it. And then the internet happened in the late 80s, early 90s, when news groups were formed. And I realized, you know, hey, after I moved to North America, because I did it in the Mediterranean, in my childhood and my early
Where did you live before?
I'm Lebanese, from Lebanon. Okay. So I was in Beirut. And then from Beirut, I went to Canada, Montreal. And then beginning of the 21st century, I met my future ex-wife in New Orleans in a diving exhibition and moved to California. I've been here since 2001.
Awesome. So yeah, I guess like it's one thing to have this hobby and even like a way of life, but what inspired you to actually start this business and sell your wetsuits?
Okay, it was a hobby and I was in the entertainment business. I had a record label and a recording studio. I was in the music business in Montreal. And actually, I was pretty up there in the music business, singing telegrams, clowning shows, conventions, you know, the whole enchilada, booking artists, etc. Now, when I moved to California, that was just before September 11 happened. I had already started with a company called Picasso. It's in Europe, in Portugal and Spain, and they manufactured and marketed and sold free diving gear and equipment. It was the whole line from the wetsuits and neoprene accessories, masks, snorkel, fins, spear guns, and spear fishing accessories. They didn't touch scuba. That means scuba stands for self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. No thanks. So it was, the motto was, thanks, but no thanks. I'm free diving. And then it was in its infancy, the sport, in the late 90s or mid 90s of last century. I was involved as an amateur, not yet, as one of the, you know, divers, not as a business. And then in 95, people started asking me, saw me on the beach. Hey, what do you use? Can I get that? Where can I get that? This is special. I've never seen those fins before. They're way too long. I never seen. So et cetera. And I got in it as a business in 1998, and I represented the company, and I was the first diving or even water sport sold online ever. I mean, we didn't even have a shopping cart. I mean, I'm talking before Google, before the Explorer. Microsoft didn't even have a browser. So we had to play around with JavaScripts and hire programmers to be able to do a shopping cart that only Netscape could run. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you remember those days, but I mean, you're too young, but I'm just saying that it was, when I sold online, the only way to sell was to have a static website. That was before dynamic website, and then have managed to acquire 1-877 wetsuit, phone number. It was toll free. So And then when you want to order the 1-877 toll-free number, and I was answering in Canada. And then,
That's
yeah, and then I moved to California, had the first free dive shop. So the first free dive shop, I created it. I founded it. And then years later, that was in 2002. Years later, I sold the controlling shares in the company because I wanted to focus on my brand, because I introduced that kind of wetsuit to North America, which was an open cell wetsuit with camo. So camo, nobody knew existed in wetsuit. People think, are you going for duck something, waterfowl? So I came to North America with that, and I moved the company because I got married here and had a child, my girl. And then it went on from there, and I focused on my brand, Yazbek, because everybody wanted to know how the wetsuit was made. And I used to make it for Picasso, actually. So I went to China, taught. Because also in China, they never made that kind of wetsuit before, because it's a different technique. It's not rocket science, but it is labor intensive, and it takes artists to build it, not just any worker. I mean, I went literally to art schools to hire the guys with the best and the girls with the brush, usually also ladies. They have fine brush because the application of the glue, it doesn't hold by stitching, but by gluing. I mean, I don't want to bore you with the details. And then years later, the Special Operation Command, the military, the Navy, Navy Special Warfare, discovered that suit. And then they started testing it behind my back for several years. And then eventually they called and they say, hey, this is amazing. We're going to ditch the dry suits. And they signed me up for a pretty large contract, the first
wow.
ever. And I've been supplying all the SEALs team. SEAL teams, that's all they were, Special Ops.
Amazing.
And now the Europeans, the British. Special operation, the SBS, SAS, diving, all, they're wearing it. And it's been like this since. It's a niche, but it's very demanding. So I'm focused on wetsuits right now, mostly.
Right. So what is the breakdown of your business currently, like in terms of percentage? Like, you know, what percentage is the government contracts versus direct to consumer from your website, retail? What does that breakdown look like for you currently?
Okay. Before the government stepped in, like, and the orders came in, it was 100% consumers. And,
right.
of course, international. So I have dealers all over the world, distributors, dealers, and the website sales. And then when the government stepped in, it was 5%, 7%, 10%. And then eventually it grew bigger. But I started also investing a lot more on the retail to maintain the government below a certain percentage, because otherwise, you know, it's any business knows it's dangerous. Anything
yeah.
goes over 5%. So right now I have developed one wetsuit just for the government under their request, because I got during a meeting of the Department of Defense, long story, they said I got to change the nomenclature or the appellation there.
Right.
From wetsuit to something else. Can't be a wetsuit because they can't place order for freezing water north of Alaska sheet, which is like 28 degrees at 20 feet, 29 at the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody dive in a wetsuit except the one I designed. So the purchasing officer or the contracting officers couldn't use the term wetsuit. So I changed it and I trademarked it for Strikes, which is super thermal retention Yazbek combat suit, because they use it for combat. It's a suit you wear, you go in the sub, you go out of the sub, you operate, you come back, you don't touch it, you don't take it off or on, and you're in freezing temperature.
Hey y'all, it's Dan Melnick, the CEO of Zing, and I wanted to share a special offer for all of our listeners. Right now, if you need software development services, we'll give you 2 weeks of a free trial. Do you need to update your website? Do you want to build a mobile app? Do you want to update something that you've been working on for a long time? We've worked in a high-level technologies like AI, machine learning, blockchain. So shoot me a text, 817-874-2208. Thank you.
Makes sense. So is most of your business today this direct-to-consumer channel? Or are you selling mostly wholesale and like other retailers? Like, what does that look like for you?
Okay. I used to have a lot of retailers, like dive shops, moms and pops. Of course, COVID stepped in. That was BC, before COVID. And then when COVID came in, of course, the dive shops took a hit like everybody else, all the other stuff. But then my wetsuit, or the Yazbek wetsuit in particular, is a fragile suit. It's like a triathlon suit. Think triathlon. So you cannot go to a store and just try a triathlon suit. You'll rip it.
Right.
If you're used to getting a surf suit or those regular suits. I'm not going to name brands that are like 80 bucks and you can step on it in the parking lot and jump in the water and drive your car over it and it's still intact. That's not the suits we can use, you know, for, you know, when you do sushi, your knife is $5,000. You're eating sushi, not minced, you know, not ground fish. So the same thing. It's a performance switch. So,
well, yeah, we're just talking about like, you know, breakdown, because you mentioned that before COVID, you had lots of moms and pops, but like, obviously that they closed down. So you've had to kind of change, you know, make some changes in the business.
Yeah, because the shops, it was a problem. People go in, they want to try it. The shop owner or an employee just give them a suit, they rip it off because they don't know. So it was an education, not really just selling market. I have to educate the divers and the shops and the employees of those shops, just like I did even with the military. I used to go for fitment and testing and sit there with all those top divers in the world. They're not like just any, I mean, I'm sure it's the 1% of the 1%. It's the best ever, anywhere. I mean, you know, and then they still are getting acquainted, you know, introduced to that. So it's an educational process. Hey, this is a Ferrari. You can't take it in the field. You can't just drive it in the city in the over bumpers. So, okay, it doesn't mean it's a bad car. If it breaks down, it's $10 million, but it's just not made for that. So it is. So the dive shop started, I started to kind of walk out. So I stayed with importers like wholesalers or specific shops that knew exactly what they're doing. There's a couple of them, Florida, Alaska. These know because the customers will go there, go dive in glaciers, for example, Alaska. They have the private helicopter. They know exactly what they're doing, but they need the suit like BBC photographers up north or the Project ICEX where the water is like, and you can't do it there. I mean, you'll freeze. You go into hypothermia within a minute. So they know what they're doing. So these people, I'm not worried that they have these kind of customers. So in this particular case, a dive shop can be a deal. Otherwise, it's direct. So you go on the website, order all over the world. We deliver to people who know. And if they are unsure, they call, they write, and I tell them. And that's why it's a niche. That's why it's a slow mover, right?
But, got it. So essentially, like, you know, you've built this brand over, you know, 20 plus years and people know who you are, obviously. So in terms of getting new customers, since it is so niche, like, do you run ads? Like, how do you go about acquiring your customers in 2024?
Good question. I never ran any ads anywhere. In the times of Picasso, when I was in Picasso, like 20 some years ago, I did because it was a brand and it was competing against a ton of other brands. But when Yazbek launched, I mean, my own competitors, I made their suits.
Right.
So I'm not going to name the names, but all the big names people know that I made the suit. Now, some broke away eventually. Even my own employees and factory, everybody thought they could do it or they. But I mean, the formula, the Coca-Cola formula is here. You know, it's I mean, it's not everybody need to advertise. Absolutely. Right. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. You have to have. In my case, I did not because it entitles a lot of follow-up because it's a kind of complicated because being the niche it is, if you put a dollar of advertisement, it's hitting not in the right, you gotta have the right market for it. Otherwise, you're wasting it. And what happens, let's say I put an advertisement on Facebook and Instagram and multimedia for Black Friday. You know, I have people calling and say, oh, I don't know how to wear this. And then it's so much energy wasted. So, and I'm at my age, I don't want to be a teacher every day, like 20 times. Yeah. That's the thing. But eventually, if I form a team, which probably I will soon have to because the government now is asking me for very compliancy. They want to step in. And I'm going to probably have to form a team then. Yeah, I would do it.
For sure. So obviously, you know, as you mentioned, you're one of the first websites. I mean, you're very forward-looking when it comes to technology. So in 2024, many companies are using AI, artificial intelligence. So I'm curious if that's something that you've used or if not, like where you think they can maybe bring you some value.
It's what you mentioned is good. And when I.com, my last name, it was for personal before I started my brand. I also .com PicassoAmerica.com. Incidentally, I own Picasso.com also, which is the painter, which is another story. But when I was Picasso, Picasso America was when Alexa used to belong to Yahoo and it was the creator. Today it's called the WaybackMachine.com and it's been bought, I think. But Alexa then, I'm talking Alexa 30 years ago, 25 years ago, rated the website. So MSN was number four, Yahoo was number one. Google, that was just as Google started, maybe number three or number five. I was number 14,700, all websites in the world. So there was nobody yet. I mean, today I would be one in a billion, you know? But then, today, when I was young enough to see the internet coming, because I used to watch things. When they had the internet bubble, if you recall, 2000, I was laughing. I said, bubble, it hasn't started. What do you mean a bubble? I lived in Montreal then, and I'm going, what do you mean they busted in San Francisco or in Silicon Valley? Is this a joke? We didn't even start. We didn't even have cables yet. I mean, cable had just started. It was still dial-ups at 64K, and then I had to pay $800 a month for an ISDN 128, fractional, just to give you an idea, and they busted. And I'm like, but I aged. When you are in your late 30s, 40s, you have an energy level you don't have when you're pushing 70. And then I'm going, oh my God, AI, this is amazing. I'm testing and I'm going, I'll never get into this because it's like starting to read encyclopedia today. It's, you know, an A. And for me, no. I want to go fishing. I want to go diving. Just, I'm going to hire a young team. Maybe if I get bigger contracts, because I think it's amazing what you can do with this.
For sure, yeah. There's so much potential nowadays when it comes to technology. It's good to be ahead of the game. So I always ask this question, and I'm curious, right? If you could go back in time to before you got started, what is the biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew?
That I was not immortal. You know, we cannot go back in time. I mean, I don't know if you know the poem about Khalil Gibran, about the fear. It's the river that's going down. And it is afraid because it sees the ocean. It can't go back. Nobody can go back. But if I can go back in time to one event concerning, I have to identify the event. I'm allowed one event. Is it health? Is it family? Is it a move I did because I lived in many continents and I worked and I have multiple right. citizenships. What is the decision I would not have made or I would have made? Are we talking business?
Yeah. This is your business. Yeah.
I would have followed my own advice. I read a book in 1980 that was written by Sherban Schreiber. He's a French philosopher, passed away. Jean-Jacques Sherban Schreiber, I remember. And I was in Saudi Arabia working mechanical electrical contracting company. I was in Riyadh for 3.5 years.
Right.
And that book was so ahead of time. The name was Le Défi des années 80, which means the challenge of the 80s, because it was in 1980. He launched that book to tell the people what the challenge of the 80s would be. Remember, we had just barely had a microwave oven in the house. It was like, wow, a luxury, right? No computers, right. No PCs, no cell phones. Cell phones came 1985, July 85. When I read that book, I was an assistant commercial manager in Saudi Arabia in a contracting company. And I go, oh, the book was all about, it will be computers. It will be all about computers. Never mind construction, never mind this, never mind cars, never mind oil. The fortunes were made already with oil. Oil is already lagging, the big contracting, the developers will be lagging, there will be a lot of competition. Computers are where you have to go. I should have learned then, rather than stick to Saudi, I had no choice. I was drafted during the war, and it was a long story, and I wasn't yet American or Canadian. So I couldn't move anywhere without a visa on a passport that I could barely get. I mean, I wasn't even free to hold my own passport. It was held in a safe at the company. I couldn't even leave, just to give you an idea. But if I could have, or I should have maybe fought for it, was go learn programming and computers then.
That's great advice.
That's the advice if I could go back.
So if somebody watching this podcast wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact.
Oh, my website, you have it. It's yazmylastname.com. Social media, Yazbek Wetsuit on Facebook and Instagram at Yazbek. I don't play around too much with it. I have a webmaster who does it because I'm kind of overwhelmed. And I'm always here for advice and for, you know, going diving, free diving.
Awesome.
when I can.
Well, Roger, I want to say thank you so much for doing this, and thank you so much for your time. And yeah, we're rooting for you.
Oh, thank you for inviting me, Daniel. Thank you, and have a wonderful day and happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July. Thank you.
Thank
All
you.
right.
Dan.
All right.
Thank
Bye.
you. Bye.